Thank you for booking tickets to an audio-described performance of London Tide, a new production based on Charles Dickens' Our Mutual Friend, adapted by Ben Power, with original songs by PJ Harvey. The running time is approximately 3 hours and 10 minutes with 1 20-minute interval. Touch Tours will precede the audio-described performances 1 hour and a half before the start time. Patrons attending a Touch Tour should meet staff in the Littleton Theatre foyer. This introduction will be repeated live 15 minutes before the performance begins. This allows us to give you extra information about the production if needed. This will also enable you to familiarise yourself with the headsets. Please note that this production contains smoke and haze, mild language, and depictions of death, suffocation, and drowning. Your audio describers are Andrew Holland and myself, Tony McBride. Some background to the play. In an article in the printed programme entitled A Conductor of Fiction, John Bowen writes on how Dickens was compelled to reflect real life in his stories. He begins, "Dickens was the most contemporary of Victorian novelists and is just as contemporary today. His life, which began at the end of the Napoleonic Wars, saw extraordinary transformations as the modern industrialized world erupted into being. He was there to chart the many changes, dramas, and revolutions in people's lives, and to create new forms of writing, able to capture the shocking changes that he saw around him. Walking, quote, 15 and 20 miles about the black streets of London, many and many a night after all sober folks had gone to bed, unquote, he made the city and its people his own. His last novel, Our Mutual Friend, is set, quote, in these times of ours, unquote. It is the mid-Victorian period, but also our own, a shared time of hardship, endurance, and love." A further article explores how different artists have been inspired by the River Thames. It begins, "The River Thames is over 330 kilometres long, stretching from Gloucestershire to the Thames estuary, which flows into the North Sea. Running through 9 counties, it is crossed by over 200 bridges. Possibly taking its name from the Celtic word for dark, Thamesis, the Thames is also known as the Isis in the stretch that runs through Oxford. During the summer of 1858, Parliament had to be suspended due to the smell of the sewage in the river being so intense, and it was no wonder paper mills, tanneries, dye works, breweries, slaughterhouses, and cattle yards could be found alongside the banks of the river, pouring their waste into it. Yet, the Thames has also inspired many artists, writers, and politicians." Set, characters, and costumes. The story is narrated to us by various characters within the story, often standing at the front, seeming swamped by the vast and virtually bare space behind and all around. The dark and shadowy space is approximately 15 metres wide by 12 deep. Set as the story is, on, around, and sometimes under the River Thames, the minimal elements of the design all play a role in suggesting its ebb and flow. At the front of the stage, a narrow gully spans the full width, creating a dark and murky pit from which characters can wash up or be submerged into. The surface of the stage is glossy black. At the very back, a vertically undulating screen of thin, dirty white plastic absorbs pale washes of light and subtle colour, reflecting shifting moods and times of day or night. On the far right of the space, standing upright to various heights, are numerous dark brown square wooden posts, as can still be viewed at intervals along the banks of the Thames, especially at low tide. On the far left, numerous strips of an oily black rubbery material hang suspended from high above down to the ground. These rubbery strips sway slightly as characters come and go in between them. In addition to these few elements, and perhaps the most significant of all, a lighting rig is used to suggest the omnipresence of the Thames. The lighting rig shares the same dimensions as the stage, 15 by 12 metres. It's comprised of five main bars, arranged equidistant from front to back, each with 10 theatre lamps set across it, again equidistantly. In between these main bars is another bar. These intermittent bars contain metre-long sections of large white LED lights that can illuminate in different combinations. The 50 theatre lamps and numerous LED lights can isolate light in any area of the space below, again helping to take us from one location to another, along with the placing of furniture. But the most significant feature of the lighting rig is its movement. Not only can the whole rig descend and ascend as one, each individual bar, both main and intermittent, can move up and down independently. At times, this allows for a wave-like motion, with the bars descending and then ascending one after the other from front to back and back again. As we take our seats, the whole of the lighting rig hangs low, resting barely a metre from the ground. The story takes us to several locations set along the course of the Thames, including Limehouse, Chancery, Holloway, Barnes, Lambeth, and Oxfordshire. The locations are simply established by the use of the name, which is projected onto a thin strip of black screen above the space at the front. At the same time, just a few items of furniture and props, a plain wooden table, some chairs and wooden crates and planks, are used to transport us from one location to the next, often placed and manipulated by the storytellers. Music is played live through the play by three musicians, two men and one woman, all white and in their 40s. They remain visible throughout, set on the right of the space, playing piano and guitars, keyboard and drums. They wear costumes that blend with those of the characters, but with more of a modern twist, turned-up jeans or leather waistcoat. The story is told by an ensemble of 21 performers, with some playing the more significant characters, with others in supporting roles and helping to populate the world of the Thames and the ragbag of characters whose lives are inextricably linked to it. The significant characters are played by white actors, unless specified otherwise. The costumes are of the period, with professional men wearing black suits, often with a long frock coat, and a stock or cravat around their necks. Working men wear clothes in dark browns and greens, with thin long overcoats, collarless shirts, waistcoats, baggy trousers and boots. The women wear long dresses or skirts that cover their feet, with blouses or fitted bodices, sometimes with buttons down the front. The colours are muted, with very few flashes of brightness. The story centres around two families. At the heart of one family is Lizzie Hexham, who's in her early 20s. She's mixed race of British East Asian heritage. She has long dark brown hair tied up in two buns on top of her head. Lizzie starts out in a patched-up pale blue dress with three-quarter-length sleeves and a grubby apron tied around her waist. She moves purposefully around the stage, often with haste and wearing a slightly troubled expression, her brow often furrowed with the weight of others' problems. Her father is Gaffer Hexham, in his 50s, with an athletic build and bullish manner. His head is bald on top, but with a grey bushy beard and piercing eyes. He wears rough brown work clothes with thick brown knee-length boots, brown trousers held up by a thick belt, and brown waistcoat from which his powerful arms protrude. He often carries a coiled hank of rope over his shoulder. Liz's brother is Charlie Hexham, also mixed race, British East Asian. He's broad, despite being only 16 years old. He has mid-length untidy black hair. He wears a suit with a brown jacket and trousers, both of which look a little short for him, and as though to stay within their confines, he stands hunched with hands in pockets. The second family are the Wilfers. Bella Wilfer is one of two daughters. She's in her early 20s with a slim build and pale skin with freckles. Her long blonde wavy hair is parted in the centre. At the start it hangs loose over her shoulders. She spends some of the time in a black dress with tight buttoned bodice, full skirt and three-quarter length sleeves. Later she plaits her hair to drape over one shoulder and wears a mint green satin dress with full flowing skirt. Her younger sister is Lavinia, or Lavi, who makes her way through life with the aid of a modern-day wheelchair. She has a thin, mischievous face and blonde hair which seems messily piled here and there. She wears a pale blue blouse with a long, dark blue skirt, under which are black stockings and ankle-length boots. Their mother, Mary Wilfer, is in her 50s and quite tall. She has pale skin and freckles like her daughter. Mary wears a long grey and black striped linen dress, often with the sleeves rolled up for work. A beige cotton apron is tied around her waist. She has an upright bearing and is rather tense, bustling around the space. Her fair, soft, wavy hair is gathered in a loose bun at the back with silver-grey streaks around the front. The man of the household is Reg Wilfer, or R.W. as he's commonly known. A plump, round-faced man, he has a fringe of grey hair around his balding head and a surprised expression as he peers out of the world through small wire-framed spectacles. He wears an average grey suit with a grey cravat and green and black check waistcoat, and moves about the place with an air of slow and quiet diffidence. A police inspector becomes involved in the action. Inspector Bucket is in his late 30s, lean and wiry, wearing a blue police coat with a double row of brass buttons down the front, over black trousers. He has a long nose and a gaunt, hollow face, his short ginger hair curly and messy. He walks with a slight limp, his stride long and slow. Where there are policemen, there will also be lawyers, two of them in this case. The senior partner is Mortimer Lightwood. He's in his 40s with an air of confident authority. His dark brown, side-parted hair is greying at the temples. 6 feet tall and of medium build, he wears a long black frock coat with black velvet cuffs, black trousers, and a striped waistcoat with silver watch chain. His grey cravat is held in place with a pearl pin. His partner is Eugene Rayburn. A light-skinned black man, younger and taller, Eugene has short black curled hair that's brushed back neatly over his ears. He has short sideburns and a thin moustache. He wears a black waistcoat and trousers, but his white shirt lacks collar or cravat, giving him a slightly rakish look. When venturing outside chambers, he puts on a voluminous ankle-length loose grey coat. A one-time partner of Gaffer Hexham is a man known variously as Rogue or Roger Riderhood. A powerfully built man in his mid-40s, he has lank, greasy hair, a scrawny beard, and a couple of missing teeth. He looks at one with the muddy water banks he inhabits, his long dirty coat worn with mud-brown trousers tucked into big black boots. He has a distinctive tattoo of a snake crawling up his arm. A stranger to the scene is John Rokesmith, a lean young man with a nervy disposition. Rokesmith has a haunted expression on his pale face, and short black hair which sticks up messily. He wears a dark collarless shirt with a long black scarf wound around his neck, along with black waistcoat and trousers. Rokesmith often stands with his arms wrapped around his chest or shoulders sloped forwards in a kind of uneasy slouch. We meet a landlady, Miss Potterson, a tidy woman in her 40s with pale brown skin. Her dark braided hair has a tinge of red and is swept back neatly over her ears into a bun at the nape of her neck. Coils escape at the front of her forehead. She wears a short sleeve blouse, dark waistcoat and long skirt with an apron tied around her waist. When going outside, she takes off the apron and adds a brown fringed shawl around her shoulders. Miss Potterson has an open, welcoming manner, but can be forceful and abrupt when the situation demands, well used to having things done her way in her house. Living in mean and simple accommodation is Jenny Wren, maker of clothes for dolls. Jenny is a petite young woman with a bright, animated face. She has long, straight, strawberry blonde hair, the front of which is swept back and clipped at the neck, where it falls to her waist. She wears a short-sleeved blouse, pale blue and patterned with flowers, with a dark maroon skirt. She wears a rough calico overdress to protect her clothes. Jenny walks with a pronounced limp. Living in the same lodgings is Mr. Cleaver. He's in his early 50s, but seems much older, his alcohol-reddened face rough with stubble. He walks with a shuffle, a brown cap pulled low over his head. He wears a brown coat, mustard waistcoat, patched trousers, and a scarf which was once brightly coloured, but is now a pale shadow of its former self. Bradley Headstone is an imposing, upright schoolteacher who dresses for the part in black frock coat and trousers, his black neck scarf kept in place with a silver pin. A serious young man with brown skin, he's tall and wiry, with sunken cheeks either side of a long straight nose. He has pointed sideburns and long wavy black hair, which is scraped back severely and worn in a bun at the back of his head. Nancy, another landlady, is a tall woman with long blonde hair scraped back in a bun. She wears a white blouse and a dark long skirt and apron, her sleeves rolled up as she wipes down the tables. Finally, we meet Noddy Boffin, an amiable older man who has come into some good fortune. He has a soft, round face with silver-grey hair that's so light it resists all attempts to be neatly parted. He's very smartly turned out in a blue frock coat with pale blue trousers and a silver-striped waistcoat. His blue silk cravat is secured with a gold pin. When going outside, he wears a top hat and carries a silver-topped cane. Cast and production credits. Lizzie Hexham is played by Amy Tredrea. Her father, Gaffer Hexham, is played by Jake Wood. Her brother, Charlie Hexham, by Brandon Grace. Bella Wilfer is played by Bella McLean. Lavinia Wilfer by Beth Aylesbury, their mother Mary Wilfer by Penny Layden, and their father Reg by Stephen Kennedy. Police Inspector Bucket is played by Joshua Lacey. The lawyers, Mortimer Lightwood and Eugene Rayburn, are played by Rufus Wright and Jemile Westman. Roger, or Rogue Riderhood, is played by Joe Armstrong, and John Rokesmith by Tom Mothersdale. The landlady, Miss Potterson, is Crystal Condy. Jenny Wren is played by Ellie Mae Sheridan, and Mr. Cleaver by Jonathan Dryden Taylor. Schoolmaster Bradley Headstone is Scott Karim. Nancy is played by Laura Cubitt, and Noddy Boffin by Peter Wright. The ensemble includes Maya James, Eric Mock, and Liam Prince Donnelly. The musicians are, on piano and guitars, Ian Ross, drum kit, Alex Lupo, and keyboards, Sarah Anderson. The movement director is Anna Morrissey. Co-sound designers are Ting Ying Dong and Christopher Shutt. Vocal arrangements are by PJ Harvey and Ian Ross, The musical director is Ian Ross, the composer PJ Harvey. The lighting designer is Jack Knowles, set and costume designer is Bunny Christie, and the director Ian Rickson. The Access mailing list and upcoming performances. Our National Theatre at Home streaming platform has a wide range of audio-described productions available, including The Effect, Othello, and Death of England. You can subscribe to the service for a monthly fee or rent productions one at a time. To find out more and stream the productions with audio description, visit www.ntathome.com/audio-described. To book tickets for shows at the NT at the adjusted access rate, please subscribe to our access list. For more information and to sign up, visit www.nationaltheatre.org.uk/your-visit/access/access-list. Call 020-7452-3961 or email boxoffice@nationaltheatre.org.uk. We hold an allocation of tickets for members of our access list for every show. If any performances listed on our website are shown as sold out, tickets may still be available. Please log in to your NT account to access tickets or call the box office access line on 020 7452 3961.